Now we're going to stumble into one that just blows me away. Yogurt. Yogurt bacteria. Is yogurt bacteria honestly sentient? It says here it can prioritize. Now, this is really getting down the street, Cleve. Yogurt bacteria.
The yogurt bacteria, I found sort of accidentally back in New York when I worked late at night, and a lot of times I'd forget to eat dinner the night before and didn't want to go out too early the next morning in the Times Square area. Uh-huh. I had a bunch of yogurt containers with yogurt in the refrigerator in the lab.
Yes.
And this particular time when I had a tone generator hooked to a plant just doing long-term monitoring,
right.
Because, again, to save the chart paper and not always having to be looking at the meter.
Sure.
And I took a container of yogurt out, and I stuck the spoon to the bottom of the yogurt to stir up the strawberry jam.
Yes.
And the tone generator just went crazy in the next room.
Oh.
So this told me that something was going on, and the only thing that had changed was I started to stir the jam from the bottom of the yogurt up. And I had no idea at that time that there were live, living bacteria in yogurt. There are two friendly kinds of bacteria.
There are,
In commercial yogurt.
Oh, yes.
And so I got my books out on dairy bacteriology and so forth, and I figured, well, there's got to be a way that I can electrode the yogurt.
Unless I'm wrong, Cleve, I believe that when a doctor finishes giving you a regime of very strong antibiotics of some sort, that they then recommend many times that you eat yogurt to recolonize the important bacteria in your stomach.
And that's interesting, you know, because that means that the bacteria has a capability of transmuting into another form of bacteria.
Apparently so, yes.
Yeah, because I've heard that also, because when you're on the antibiotic, that's going to kill the yogurt, because that is live bacteria.
Exactly.
But anyway, when I heard this, I figured out a way to fill a little 5-milliliter test tube with the yogurt, using a little stem and filling from the bottom up, and then putting the gold wire electrodes in the yogurt.
Yes.
And I've got hundreds of hours of monitoring where everyone that would visit the lab, I would use the sample of yogurt to monitor the events going on in the area. Then I would use split screen technology where I'd have one camera on the audience or the group that was visiting, and then the other camera over the chart drive.
Cleve, one quick question.
Yes.
Did your friends and family ever think that you were losing your mind?
I'm not sure. most of them have passed away before they had a chance to know about this. I have one living relative, an 85-year-old sister.
What's Cleve doing now? Well, he's testing the reaction and prioritization of some yogurt we've got here.
Well, yogurt is a fantastic sensitive monitor of human consciousness. That I am very certain of. When two people are debating with each other,
yes.
When one has the idea of something they want to say to score against the other,
yes.
Just the imagery coming to the mind will create the reaction, and the words come out from the person after.
So then what CBS should do from now on, next presidential debate, in fact, would be to have a monitor and some yogurt. And just while the debate's going on, just monitor the yogurt. Let the yogurt decide.
That would be very interesting. The yogurt would at least show, we won't get that involved in the politics. All my yogurt is non-political. Listen,
well, all right. How to prioritize? Let's get that out of the way. What do you mean by that?
Prioritizing is the equivalent of the focus of psychological set with humans. In other words, if one thing is going on that's more important, the cells will focus on that at the expense of the other, where they ordinarily would show to the other.
Gotcha.
An example in the book on that where I had the American Polygraph Association was visiting San Diego, and I hosted a visit to my lab where several hundred of them were crowded in this lab here in San Diego. And I thought, well, this is going to be just totally chaotic, because I always felt that I needed to have very controlled laboratory environment for something to show.
Mm-hmm.
But before they got so crowded I couldn't even move around the lab, I balanced in a test tube of yogurt and just let it run, and to show that at least there are some squiggles and wiggles on the tracing it was tied into something I had hooked up. And I thought, well, I wonder if I can get some kind of a reaction out of this if I take the syringe that I used to fill this test tube still had some yogurt in it, and I was about 15 feet away from the electroded sample, and I squirted the balance, some of the balance of that yogurt from the syringe into a mixed drink. It was a vodka and tonic, the tail end of the vodka and tonic drink.
Oh,
and there was just a huge reaction from the, you know, the electroded sample. And this, again, showed that despite the chaos that, that was going on with all of the polygraph examiners, their wives and kids that were visiting the lab, that the yogurt was still able to tune in to another sample that came from the same source, and when something happened to that other sample, showed reaction at a distance.
Oh, my God, I've been dumped in a drink.
Yeah, so this is what I call prioritizing.
Well, no, I see what you mean, though, and I see what the control was there. That's really, really interesting. Cleve, what should all... I mean, if all of this is true, then what does it mean in terms of how we should prioritize or treat our environment, meaning plants and animals and all things around us that we didn't think had the kind of connection that you're saying things do have?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in the Gaia hypothesis. Are you familiar with that?
Go ahead through it.
And James Lovelock in England is the one that sort of fosters that, and Lynn Margolis over here. And Lynn Margolis was married to Carl Sagan for about, I guess, 10 years, which I have to give her a lot of credit.
For staying with him for 10 years?
Yes. But anyway, the Gaia hypothesis related to the world being one great big living entity, and it had self-regulating capability. And, of course, it had to have communication to have that kind of self-regulation.
That's right.
And... So I believe, again, I believe very much in that concept, and I think we have to be far more careful in how we handle the environment. This business of somebody saying, well, if you cut down the trees, you don't have to worry about forest fires, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.